All right, looks like it's time for me to start. So I was expecting a bigger crowd, but I guess nobody in here at the conference does contracts. So we're going to go over simple contract management in Project Server 2013, and we're going to leverage a system called PMCS, which stands for Project Management Control System. So myself, Paul Stiardo, I'm the CEO of the Americas for TPG. A little slow on the clicker here. So we're going to cover our real basic understanding of TPG PMCS. What is it? How does it work? We're going to go through a typical contracting cycle. We're going to touch on the basic planning and Project Pro, how to create a simple budgeting structure within PMCS, because you need a budget to create contracts since there are constraints, integrating the schedule and the budget, creating a contract in PMCS, approving the contract in PMCS, and integrating it back to Project Server, and then creating invoices and integrating those back to Project Server. So it's going to get a little complicated. So I actually have slides since they only gave me 20 minutes to run through this very complex scenario with you. First, a few questions. Do you typically manage contract details outside of your schedule? Who manages them outside of the schedules? Come on, raise all your hands. Everybody typically uses Excel, or you're pulling out a system like SAP and so on. The problem is they don't provide you with finite details, and they don't provide you with a control structure to manage your schedule properly. Can Project Server be used to manage contract details? We all know no, because we do it outside the system. So can you really manage your delivery tasks without contract details? And I'd say no, because you need to understand all of those constraints to properly deliver your project. It's as easy as link it, sync it, budget. Well, it's supposed to be contract think, sorry. So what is PMCS? So PMCS is a modular platform that extends out the EPM function. So here we see on the EPM side, we have typical project scheduling, project planning, resource planning, collaboration, and list management. PMCS extends out your Project Server and SharePoint environment with about 96 different modules, and it also allows for ad hoc module setup. The core functions within PMCS really focus around budget management, contract management, potential cost changes, full traceability throughout your financial life cycle of the program, and then other things like earned value, governance, bid management, safety, field management, and so on. The power behind this is you can actually create project-based financials that roll up to program financials, which roll up to the organization. Okay? And you could start at any level throughout the PMCS model. So let's walk through a real basic scenario. So this is a typical contract cycle. So gets a little complex, but we start with open schedule planning within Project Server, Project Professional. That is pretty much bottom-up planning. Okay, typical organizations, what they do is they request planning details on a yearly basis. This goes into a budget analysis cycle. So these budget details go to your corporate side, and then budget allocations are done. These are pushed down to your schedules to create constraints from a delivery perspective. Okay? So you think Project Server, Project Professional is more or less a planning tool, delivery system. It's not a control platform. So you don't really have the governance over how much money you're spending and so on. That's where the budgeting details come in. Now, from a contract standpoint, typically you have budgets, and you're going to create contracts that are going to consume those budgetary details. Okay, so this is where we're getting into PMCS, to where we define those budget constraints. And those contract details are going to be defined based on the budgets that we create within PMCS. From here, we're going to have commitments that are posted back to the Project Server. And then you could create contractual line items, which you're going to invoice against. Okay, so let's say subcontractors, materials, equipment details, and so on. You could actually begin managing those details within your Project Server environment. Would you all agree this is kind of a typical cycle? Yeah? Okay. So we all should be familiar with this. This is a basic schedule within Project Server. Okay, you have your detailed structure here. You have duration. You got work. You got some cost details. Now, again, this is a plan. This planning detail is used to provide, insight to your organization on like your yearly planning cycles. From there, typically your CFO or one of your finance guys is going to say, okay, they're requesting this much, budget, or this is their planning details. I guess they're requesting these budgets to execute this project. So typically, they would allocate budgetary funds to execute this project plan. From here, this would align with what's called a CBS cost breakdown structure, essentially, to where you have your schedule details, and we're aligning that with your cost controls within your organization. Now, I did a session yesterday that went through all of this, so I I don't think anyone in here was from there except for, I think, one. But it went through the details of how you create a cost breakdown structure. So from here, that cost breakdown structure, now this is a screenshot from PMCS to where you could actually take the planning details rolled up by CBS or cost breakdown structure node. And then you can do budgets. So you can see here, plan for 2013 budget, plan 2014 budget. You could take those budgetary constraints, roll them back to your project schedule based on a budgetary node. And then in the system, you could see these are my budgetary constraints. And if I'm doing costs and actuals, you could see how you're consuming budget within your schedule. So it's a very controlled process on how you're executing. Now let's get into the contract side. So we're going to open up. This is a standard project server homepage. We go into a tool called PMCS. You can see it's fully integrated. This is the PMCS site. So it looks like a standard project site. It's got some other components in here. So within this, you know, I recommend you all stop by the booth to check this out, because there's a whole bunch of modules in here that you could pretty much just drop down and go into budgeting, you can go into cost controls, earn value, stuff like that on the fly for your specific project, which rolls up to a program level for full controls. So from here, we're actually going to click into the financials and we're going to open up the contract management section. From here, actually, before we get into the contract management section, we actually go back into the financials. We're looking at the a budget viewer. So here, this is just so you all understand where we're going to take this. This is the these are the budget constraints that have been created from Project Server that have been pushed over. We created budget constraints based on a cost breakdown structure. So here you can see we have Project Server budget release. We have a project amount of $260,000. So if you're going to create contracts, you shouldn't be able to exceed your budget values within the environment. Typically within Project Server, you could pretty much do whatever you want because plan now equals actual. So in this case, you can't exceed the budgetary constraints. So now we're going to go ahead and create a contract. You can see here, we're going to go ahead and add new. We're in a contract center. And you can see all of the details we're able to view and manage, such as the original contract value, cost changes, current CV value, potential changes, invoices, remaining amounts, and so on. From here, we're going to create the contract. Now, I'm going to walk you through the screens. You can see in this case, we have contract details. This is going to be, these are going to be contact details for setting up a contract or purchase order. Those terms are synonymous. So here we have two company. You can see that Ralph Cramden is the signer of this contract, you know, and it's actually for TPG to pay for this project conference. Okay, so giving you a basic idea of, you know, contact details. From here, we're going to go into general details for the contract. Now, this is going to go over the type of contract, whether it's a prime, sub-type contract. So it's actually managing how your contracts and how your costs are accumulating against your project. Next, you have rules of engagement or rules of invoicing. So here you could set up fixed price rules. You could set up not to exceed rules or exceed rules from an invoicing perspective. So I mean, some of us with large cap projects, let's say you're in a construction site and you have a vendor that's, you know, digging out a trench and they find a piece of granite, okay? In this case, you know, you would allow that vendor to keep digging, get through the granite, and then they could exceed the contract value essentially, and then you do budgetary changes afterwards, okay? But it comes down to traceability, how you're recognizing those changes. Next is you could do recoverables for a financial perspective, details in here, and so on. That's just giving you a high level on the general constraints of creating a contract. Now from here, on the bottom, you can see that we're choosing the budget details. Now remember, I said earlier that there were constraints on how we could do contracts. So if I click on this dropdown, you can see we could scroll through all the budgets that you can select that pertain to this specific project. Here we have, we're gonna select number 3. Remember, it was 260, 638. That was an approved budget. And you can see what the approval dates and the release periods for that budget are. From here, I select. So now that budget is assigned to that contract. So essentially, I could consume up to $260,000 for this contract. From here, I'm going to go in and create detailed information about the contract, such as start dates, you know, when it was proposed, and so on. Does anyone understand what retainage is on contracts? Okay, so we got a couple people. So retainage, so the tool actually controls retainage release and how your vendors are executing their contracts. So in this case, I want you to just pay attention. We have two retainage values of 10%. So let's say we set up a contract for $100,000. You cannot, the system will actually retain 10,000 of that and you can't, you know, you actually can't release 10,000 until there's an approval process to release that retainage. So it's a very tight contract control within the environment. In addition, you have equal opportunity employment percentages that you could apply to track how your, you know, let's say government projects typically require you to track the percentage of allocation of contracts to subs and stuff based on, you know, the different, you know, diversity requirements within the country. Next, you have what are called alternates. So in this case, it allows you to create substitutions. So in this case, we're saying we wanted booth six, but or actually booth five, but if booth five isn't available, we'll take booth six. So if there's anything from a vendor perspective working on that contract, you know, they can immediately go into the contract details and say, okay, well, I ran out of this. What can I substitute it with? So that's where the alternates come from. So that's setting up the basic details for a contract. So you can see there's a lot of detail, things like in your SAP or your spreadsheet that aren't there. And all this data you could pretty much slice and dice and report against. Next, we're going to create contract line items. Okay, so now we're going to go into the current contract value. You can see here we're just going to click on this value. And now we're going to create line items that would, you know, create the total amount of the contract. So here you can see that we selected that budget area. Remember, this was from before, that 260,000. So here are the nodes. And against those nodes, you can see if I click on the node 100, I can see that I have a total available budget of $100,000. So me as a contract manager, I can go in and I could actually place 50,000 of labor, 50,000 of material against this contract. And you can see I have an MBE requirement of 10% for this contract. This is for subcontractor labor for system design. So from here, I'm actually creating how the execution is going to take place for that contract. So this could be set up as like a deliverable within scope and so on. From here, you can see how we created three separate line items for your contracts. We'll call them schedule values or PO line items, contract line items. This is all configurable. So from here, we see that we've created a total of labor 50, materials 50, equipment 65, other 50. We have a total contract value of 215, which rolls up to the contract header. So now this is actually a, you know, executable item within the environment, and this integrates back to Project Server. So from here, once we create the contract, it would go through a workflow to have maybe your vendor or your PM review, then it would go to an executive team for review and confirmation of that contract. And then from there, you could publish these details, and it's going to bring those contract values back to your Project Server structure. Now remember, we created the budgetary nodes, and we had budgetary constraints, and from here we took the values from the PMCS environment, brought them down into contract line items within the environment. You could actually do a very granular post based on subtasks, or you could create a specific resource that would, you know, hold the values for that contract, for those contract details. So we all understand contracts now, right? I ran through that pretty quickly. I have five more minutes. So now we're going to create some invoices. So now you know we had the contract value of how much? 215. So now let's start executing this. So again, you're dealing with a subcontractor. They're going to pretty much submit an invoice. How do you typically track that on your schedule? You just pop in a cost amount. But in this case, you could actually track the details of the relationship between the invoice and the contract. From here, we're going to go in, click on finance, click on invoices, add new. From here, we're going to come in. You put in the details, the invoice date, due date. This is going to be a contract-based invoice, or you could do a general invoice, so it doesn't tie to a contract. So let's say you just, you know, a vendor gives you, like for here, you know, I brought in my booth, and Freeman came out to me and said, hey, here's an invoice. That wasn't in my contract, okay? So in that case, you could create a general contract, a general invoice. So now we click on contract, and you can see these are the actual contracts in the system. So I could see contract number 12345, vendor Acme Construction, and I can see it was for 215. And you can see the total of the original, current, potential, because you can make contract adjustments. So from here, I'm actually going to go in, and now my header details for the invoice are created, and I can actually go into the line item details of my invoice. Now, what's pretty neat is the invoice center in the environment is actually going to bring in all of your contract line items. All right, so it's essentially, you know, taking your spreadsheet to a whole new level to where you can actually see the details of the original contract. Remember, we had a retainage amount of 10% on labor and materials. We could see that here based on the contractual details of retainage. down here, we can see the contract value. Remember, it was $50,000. Available value is $50,000. My retainage was 10%. Retainage amount, $5,000. My invoiceable amount is $45,000 because we want to retain $5,000 just in case they don't deliver properly. Same thing for the materials. We can see what our total is. And since we haven't created this invoice, the details of the invoice yet for this period, we have 100% to bill. So from here, we're actually just going to enter for line one, invoiced $40,000. A percent complete against that contract is 80%, with a budget balance to complete is 10%, with a total retainage of $5,000. And you can see from a totals perspective, we invoiced $70,000, which gives us a 70% complete with a $30,000 amount to remaining invoice. In addition, you could do total production hours and production hours this invoice. So this could actually be used to progress your schedule, essentially. So let's say you wanted to have subcontractors inside of your schedule. This is a great way to keep track of them. So now we're going to take that those invoice details. You can see it creates the line in them. And anywhere in the system that's, you know, highlighted red or I think it's blue, it allows for drill down capability so you can see all of the finite details. Now from here, you go through a very similar workflow process. You could go through, submit the invoice, go through the vendor, have them approve, go through the PM, the director, finance, whatever. You could publish that back. And those details from your invoice, you can see here, contract line item number 123, contract line item 1, we invoice 70,000. That progresses right back to project server. So now I ask the questions again. Oh, now it's backwards. Do you typically manage contract details outside of your schedule? Yes, most of us do it in Excel, but now you can integrate the commitments back into EPM. Can project server be used to manage contract details? Not out of the box, but with PMCS, you absolutely can. Can you really manage your delivery tasks without contract details? We all know, I mean, you can't really manage your project without your purchase order and contractual details, because these are, you know, these are details you need to understand, and this is why most projects fail, because they don't have visibility into how contracts and invoices affect their total budgets and the delivery of their engagements. Thank you. Questions? I know that was really quick. They gave me 20 minutes. I was supposed to have an hour in another session, but there's got to be some questions. Leo, you have a question. It's actually, that's a great question. So the question was, can you hide some of the data so they cannot see the your contractual details? Yes. The system is actually, so it takes Project Server and SharePoint to a whole new level of security, to where, you know, you guys know how security is done with Project Server. You set up the user on the team, that progresses to SharePoint. But in this case, you actually have modular-based security down to the user. So let's say I work for TPG and there's 10 people on TPG. I could actually set it up to where only I could see the contractual details based on my name being entered in there. Everything else will be blanked out. Or if I have another level of security, there's 6 levels of security through PMCS where I could contribute, I could see my own, I could see my teams, and so on. So yeah, very, very granular security. So we worked with, we actually built this for Microsoft 4 years ago to manage the Azure program. It was a $20 billion data center deployment. And of course, they wanted to eat their own dog food. And some things didn't work out of the box, so we built a solution like this. And they had 1,000 vendors in there. So, other questions? Great. So today, PMCS is actually used globally. Right now, it manages about $40 billion in client capital. Yes, that's billion with a B. So yes, Project Server can be used for mega projects, mega programs. The thing is, I mean, Project Server is a scheduling tool, you know, basic resource management tool for projects. When you start adding project controls, it's limitless, really is. I mean, you could start really managing mega programs, okay? So, and this actually has bidirectional integrations with systems like SAP, Oracle. It allows for other scheduling tools to integrate with it. I would say the P word, Primavera, but you know, we're at the project conference. So other questions, comments? Great. That's my show.